On today's show, we find out that Dolores is no longer a damsel in distress, and what's with the unraveling, and will Logan ever shut up? All that and a special guest, next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Just let it sink in. We're halfway through. Joel, I know you got sad hearing that we're halfway.
I don't like the idea that the show could end ever. Like, I really need it to exist for all time and perpetuity. So I'm not looking forward to the break.
You want
to
live without limits.
Yes, exactly.
As they say on the show, welcome everybody to the AfterBuzz recap of Westworld Season 1, Episode 5, Contrapasso. See what I did there?
Oh, I did. You got it all in there. It's very nice.
Got a little in there. All right, I am JC Rubio, and helping me break it down tonight, the lovely lady to my left.
Hey guys, I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
And across the table.
Hey guys, how's it going? My name's Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
And now, before we go any further, a quick shout out. Mr. Dave Child could not be here today. We miss you, Dave. Yeah. Yes, hope to see you next week. But in the meantime, I had an incredible... The universe was on my side.
It's always on your side.
It's always on my side. I was looking at the IMDb list when I was researching the show, and I came across this guy across the table from me, who is a friend of mine, who I said, how the hell did I see you tonight on Westworld? Ladies and gentlemen, AfterBuzz Nation, put your hands together for Mr. Corlando Scott.
What's up, AfterBuzz World?
Thank you so much for joining us. And if you were watching tonight, you would have seen him as the Union soldier welcoming everyone to Pariah tonight.
Something like that.
Yes. So we're going to actually, you know, pick your brain a little bit, but more so, you're a huge fan as well, so let's all bring it down together.
I am. I love this show. I mean, it's beautifully shot, it's well acted, it's well written, it's HBO at its best. I mean,
truly,
it's the new Game of Thrones.
Oh. Ooh.
I'm just saying. I'm
it's
just going to
put
it out there.
It's a sci-fi Game of Thrones.
I'm just going to put it out there.
Putting it out there as well. And you know what? A quick shout out. Man running the booth. Who do we have back there tonight?
How's it going, everyone? This is Neil in the booth.
Hey,
I'm
Neil.
I'm very excited to get going. This was a great episode.
And last but not least, our live chat roll. Send us your questions. If we have time at the end, we will answer your questions. If you have questions for Corlando's, what it was like being on set, and just about all your theories, because what did we witness tonight? General thoughts.
First, real quick, for our listeners, if you guys just listen later, that's totally cool. But our live chat is popping.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Long before we come on to talk to you guys, they're in the chat theorizing. So if you want to meet some other fans and talk to them about the show, even before we get started and then during the conversation, you can join us live at, what time is it now? 9? 10?
10:20.
There we go. 10 o'clock Pacific Standard Time on Sundays. Come check us out and talk live in the chat. What did I think about this episode? Ford is quickly becoming one of my favorite, I don't know if it's anti-hero or villain or what, but he is so fascinating. Whatever his big plan is, I want to get into the meat of that now, because I feel now that he has some adversaries. It's clear he's protected, but between the Man in Black, who he addresses, but not, we don't quite understand where their footing is with one another, to Dolores finding the maze and lying to him, I'm excited to see what happens.
You know, and the beauty of it is because Jonathan Nolan and, of course, Lisa Joy also said it was never about black or white, good or evil. And that's the complexity that we see in Ford, because I keep thinking, am I going to see a Hannibal Lecter? Am I going to see this? This is a man with this agenda that we still don't fully know. Mm-hmm. And I'm loving every step of the way. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Carrie, any thoughts tonight?
Oh, no, I love this episode. I like that there's a lot more development with characters and showing your true self in a way, publicly and privately. Mm.
You know, and Carlans, I know, you know, we can talk about this. And now you as a fan, you know, thoughts of what you saw tonight.
I loved it because I started seeing arc. Like, I started seeing characters develop and people changing. I started to see that evolution of Dolores, that evolution of William. And it made me excited for what might be in store.
You know, and it's funny you bring that up because I wish we had a pre-after show where there could be a camera on us watching the show, because watching Joel watch the show, she's like, oh my god, oh no, oh hell yeah. The moment with Dolores, when you saw that, you're like, it was just like, hallelujah.
When Dolores meets the witch/fortune teller/herself,
yes.
I live for witches. They're everything to me, and if we're gonna get into some cool witchy bone-throwing stuff, like, I'm down. I'm ready for it. I just live for it. It's so good.
You know, it's nice, even to have the foresight that, of course, it's Halloween weekend, and then we have this Dia de los Muertos kind of...
It's appropriate, timing for today.
The costuming, especially.
When we had to watch, yeah.
Yeah, and especially if you're watching this live, check out Carrie, who dressed for the occasion. Yeah, absolutely, Carrie. With her Westworld garb.
I was like, come on, tomorrow's Halloween, we should dress up, and... Maybe I didn't send my email soon enough to the rest of my panel.
I wore all jean, which is the most is true, dressed up for Halloween I've ever...
And you do have a leather jacket, but it's kind of warm-ish in here.
I'm afraid to wear it under these hot lights. I'll melt.
I run cold, so I'm all good. But I'm like, yeah, dude, I totally want to, because it's a fun, like, fantasy world. And it almost made me think, I'm like, what would I choose when I go in? Like, what would you choose if you had your selection of your wardrobe, you know?
Please answer that in the chat, and... Obviously, bad first.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. What kind of outfit would you guys want to wear? Like, would you go totally one way or another? Like, extreme?
Full desperado.
Or, because color, I mean, we haven't really gotten into, how much do they feel the elements? Because it's hot and they've sweat, yes? Because then in that case, dressing all in black, that'd be really uncomfortable. Like, you know, it's too hot for me. I'd be like, no, we're wearing lighter colors. Like Dolores' outfit. Okay, here's my thought, too. I was watching her outfit later when she put pants on. I'm like, oh, that could be a really fun cosplay. Because it's simplistic enough, but it's super specific.
So for next year?
Next year, we got a few more episodes. I could probably figure it out, maybe.
Okay, maybe. Wow. She's
so like middle of November dressing up.
Halloween. Why not? Yeah, her outfit. I'm like, yeah, you could wear that as a normal thing.
But another really cool thing to talk about colors and what colors represent and the use of colors in the show, you do see the black hat and the white hat. Mm-hmm. But then you see Dolores, and she's in blues, and she's in pastels. And she, even when she becomes Desperado Dolores, she's still in lighter shades. And it makes you wonder how much that plays into who she is. Mm-hmm. And she's still trying to find herself. And does that factor into her choice or the creator's choice of colors for her?
I agree, because, you know, up to this point, we've always gotten this kind of Alice in Wonderland.
I was just going to say that. A lot of people in the chat have been like, oh, Alice, or on the comments, Alice in Wonderland, because she has that blue dress, and she's blonde, she's going down the rabbit hole, and totally parallels really well.
And it's funny that you were talking about Dolores and what she would choose, and, you know, even Ford brought that up, whether you would be the hero or the villain.
Yeah.
And let's dive into, actually, Ford. Let's start with the very first scene with Ford and Old Man Bill.
I absolutely
love the story that we talk about him having the pets and basically the pet eating the cat and not knowing its purpose thereafter, and in essence talking about the host.
So was that a metaphor for the man in black? Because he's chasing and chasing and chasing. When he gets it, he's not going to
be
excited. I
really think that it is because, my God, are they brothers? Do they know each other so well and their stories so well?
It's a little...
On
what basis would you say that?
Because when William is talking earlier, he was like, yeah, we're looking to buy in the company, but there's no photos or trace of the original guy. But the man in black knows that guy.
He knows Logan.
He knows Arnold.
Yeah, he knows of Arnold. And then when we have the whole, the dog and cat story... I don't know. I feel like maybe they're related. Or like maybe he's the brother that he talks about. Like, my brother couldn't help himself. He let the dog off the leash.
It's so funny that we saw it differently, but that's the brilliance of the writing.
It literally is a thought that maybe just pops into my head. It's crazy. It's Cuckoo Banana Pants, but I would dig it.
It's not that far-fetched. I don't think they're related, but if Man in Black has been attending for this long, Ford could definitely know who he is.
Well, and then
know him on the outside world.
He even says you still have your little pets.
Yeah.
When they're sitting at the table drinking, they've been right there before he stabs him, he's like, you've always had your pets.
20 plus years, so...
Yeah.
Wait, are we totally over the concept that the man in black is actually William?
Oh, we're going to get to that.
And the audience has
you would have to throw that out the window to go with this.
Well, this is where... are we talking about timelines yet? I have one comment on timeline. Only because we had Lawrence, our guy going with Man in Black, and then he was at the Pariah location, and I was like, he can't be there unless there's two models of him, so I don't think that's going to happen, so those can't be the same timeline, but they could just be not necessarily years apart, they could be months apart. But it was one of those, they are not happening simultaneously.
How can they be months apart when you see it's clearly like a 30-year difference between William and Man in Black?
Oh, no. I'm not saying like, it's purely when Lawrence, like they killed him. I'm saying it is Lawrence, yes? They slit his throat and drained his blood. That
Correct.
Guy. Yes, okay. He's there with Men in Black. And then he's also, a couple shots later, in Pariah. Mm-hmm. Those two storylines can't be simultaneous.
Correct.
So that's where I was like, I don't know how far apart they are. But that was my moment that I'm like, nope, they're not at the same time.
It's so funny. I keep looking at Corlandis to see if there's some sort of tell.
Yeah, how much? I was going to say, do you guys know that much in advance?
I have. The show was crazy secretive. Crazy secretive. The production was
Yeah.
And we can talk about that later, but yeah. I have no insight. No insight knowledge whatsoever.
So Jonathan Nolan, don't hate me.
So Metal Monkey, if I guess it, don't get angry.
Metal Monkey in the chat has one of my favorite kind of all-encompassing fan theories so far. He says, William kills Logan, takes his higher-up role in the company. So we learned today that William is EVP, which probably makes Logan the president. So William, as president, buys Westworld and cures cancer. That's why everyone reveres him, and he can do whatever he likes in Westworld as the Man in Black.
I like the second half of that. Yes. I'm in love with the second half of what he said. The first half, I don't know how.
I like the idea of him going in the good guy and just slowly being like, "That's not what this world was made for." We even get a little taste of that at the end today, where he was like, "I'm done playing these games. No more falsehoods." And he leaves his friend to get beaten up.
Not lying to himself anymore.
Yes.
No pretending.
Yes.
Because he doesn't want to people-please his friend anymore. He's like, no, I wouldn't even call them friends.
Yeah.
You know, his colleague.
Yeah.
In a way.
So
he's like, I'm done.
Do we think this is a red herring? Is the multiple timelines? Because people are still saying that the timeline theory is not real. I have a fan, yeah. Dana Roxio, saying it's not real. The timelines are not real. Because it's leading us, I mean... To see what we saw tonight, I'm in it. I'm like, oh my gosh, there has to be multiple timelines. I'm already looking at the mole on William's face. It's the same with Man in Black. They have it in the same spot. And
I don't want to get too far ahead of myself.
Well, okay. Here's my one caveat with the timeline theory from this episode is when William and Logan are walking and they first enter this new city, Pariah, yeah. He says that he's been looking for this guy and that there's nothing there of him and that it was right before the park opened. It seemed to be some years distance.
Wait.
Does that make sense?
Logan felt like the park thing happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's weird that if
Logan is the man in black. Oh, because then that would be closer time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then they would be closer together in time period. William, it wouldn't be enough time for him to become the Man in Black. If that makes sense.
I don't know. But then is this also too easy in terms of like, if we're all jumping on this theory that quick, wouldn't the show be more entertaining if it's like just kidding or gotcha. Like
the red herring we're talking about? Yeah.
The one thing that makes me feel like it couldn't be multiple timelines is that in every behind the scenes, like corporate scene, they're always talking about 30 years ago and 30 years ago mm-hmm. this and when yes. we started. And so I never get the feeling that we're at the beginning of Westworld or at the beginning of this corporation's mm-hmm. enterprise into this whole thing.
You know, and you bring up a great point bringing it back to Delos, because we also, keeping with the Ford timeline, what we're talking about with Ford and actually Dolores, their interchange. Because we come to the moment where Dolores is in Pariah with William, and she gets lost in the Dia de los Muertos scene, and then she runs into Ford. Well, actually, Ford pulls her out.
Yeah, Ford was on the hunt. It was so creepy.
Oh, yeah. Well, something, and I don't think we've necessarily talked about it, but I saw it in the comments, and I was curious. Do you guys think when Dolores meets Bernard, if it is purely in her head, or if her physical body is in the room with Bernard?
I think her physical body is there.
Okay.
I love the way they cut that, though, right? Because you never really know. You're in the middle of a scene, and then you're in the whatever, the fixing place.
Yeah, because we've talked about that before, that like Dolores with Bernard feels like the same room, same place, mm-hmm. but then we've asked the question of how does she get there, how does she get back, and how does nobody notice at the company?
I've thought of that possibly like maybe even a remote viewing, or just where he's controlling
like a projection?
From afar.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's, I mean, everything military. Seems to be like right there and practical within the scene. And
does he touch her? Does he ever reach out and be like,
not that I can
then
remember.
That might be like, well, are
he
they
he does spaces? Get up and walk behind her and look back at her and say, you should get back. Remember last episode?
And she gets up and walks away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is why I think they're in real time
in
and space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even because we see so many characters going off with their own agendas inside the science-y space, like where they're like, yeah, I'm just, I need to see this body for a bit. And no one kind of notices or cares.
Yeah,
and so I don't think it would be very hard to slip these things in and out.
Yeah, right. This is the weirdest company of, like, super important, super secret, but weird shit goes down all the time, and nobody really seems to know.
I have a friend who works at an airport, and apparently it's the same way there. Whereas, like, you think you'd be really safe and secure, but they're like, there are a whole bunch of doors that just don't lock. And nobody cares, because you kind of have to know, like, where things are to get around.
Okay.
And so things just don't kind of get patched up. And I think that's part of the statement of the show, is, like, these large corporations lose some of their human element, and it becomes easy for lies and secrets to build and expound upon themselves, because nobody's really checking it. Everyone keeps passing the buck. Yeah, and it blows up. Yeah.
So Westworld is a deeper conversation on the Enrons of the world?
I feel like it is.
You guys,
especially
you
now
guys
that we have here, like, corporate espionage going down with, you know,
oh my God,
lawyers coming in to look at the place and uncover, like, why did this guy kill himself?
But
and
they couldn't find anything. The company.
That's also true. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
Well, for me, the big takeaway, going back to Ford and Dolores, is big meeting, because I drew the parallel between Dolores and Ford. That's what I saw in the scene.
What do you mean?
Basically, where Ford was talking about his father said he only had a certain point he could go to, and that's why he created this world. And now Dolores is at that point as well.
Okay.
She's craving more. And he's on to her, to me. He's on to her that she's wanting more, and then is she hiding a secret?
Oh, yeah, Arnold, of course she is.
Who was she talking to in that takeaway, in that scene where she said, I didn't tell him anything?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm paraphrasing. Yeah, I know who that voice is. That's for sure, yeah. Arnold. And I'm so excited to see his face, if he's still alive. Like, because everyone is so convinced he died, and yet, in a place that has recorded kind of everything, and this was in their early years, so maybe they weren't.
And they didn't
all
find a body, so.
Right.
I don't know if I'm on board with that. If we will ever see actually Arnold. I think Arnold might be part of the bicameral mind. He's more going to be that voice. He's more that guiding voice, almost
maybe
like.
Maybe that's more like the. Go ahead.
No, I was like, is he more like the computer security system of, like, he's not really a person anymore?
See, I like that theory, because he's found a way to be immortal with his bots, which we know he likes more than humans, so.
Yeah.
Potential.
What else did we take away from that meeting between Dolores and Ford?
Dolores is lying, and she's doing it well.
Yes.
And I love it, because it means we don't necessarily know if we can trust everything she said with Bernard.
Or anyone. Power struggle. First of all, the power struggle between Ford and anyone he speaks to is off the meter.
Oh, yeah.
But the relationship and power struggle between those two, because she's coming into her own, I feel. And I think she's conscious and aware of the fact that she can't quite take everything that Ford says at face value. And how do you play that to your creator while at the same time allowing yourself to have the space to figure things out? But appease him enough so that he stays off your case. And are we to believe that he doesn't know all of this?
Right? That's my other thing, too. Is he pushing her in the direction that he wants her to go in? Because he keeps showing up in everyone's storyline and giving them information. And we already know he's very crafty with his words.
True.
Words give direction. And has he been able to expound upon that outside of just the host community? And he's doing it with, like, the Man in Black, too, of being like, and this way, please.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Just gently guiding her.
Yes.
Well, it also...
A lot of control.
I think it speaks about the unlimited potential of what the host can truly be.
Yes.
They are going to usurp humanity. They're going to usurp humans.
Yeah.
So she has the duality of being the damsel in distress, playing that role.
But later.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, I was so happy when that moment happened. I was like, yay!
They were hooting and hollering, I swear. This is like the loudest episode. Okay, you know what? And actually, Evan Rachel Wood did say that this was going... She hyped the hell out of this episode. Did it live up to the hype?
I think so.
I didn't know any hype ahead of time.
She said it's going to be explosive.
Well, haha. We had our... Ching. Yeah. I liked her development and putting on pants. Because, in that world that they're running around in, her dress is very not functional. Let's be honest.
Right.
No, bad
or
plan.
Horseback riding or anything, right?
And so it's like, no, that's a good switch. I mean, her hair is a good idea because she has it pinned back off the face thing. But then when she gets to the point where she can be like a gunslinger, I was so happy. I'm like, is that in your programming or is that past storylines?
See, and it starts dispelling a lot of notions when we had, you know, the violence against women. And because I still am holding off from the first episode with Man in Black of what happened in the barn. A lot of people were on the assumption that he raped her, he brutalized her, and I've, from the get, they didn't show us it, so I didn't believe it. Until I see it, I'll believe it. And I'm loving that that Lisa Joy and Jonah Nolan said that, just wait for it. Everything has a purpose. The mm-hmm. nudity, even the things that people have cried about, they're like, there's a purpose, there's a reason, and it's all unfolding in what we're seeing today with Dolores's...
I was going to say, speaking of nudity, people in the chat enjoyed the naked bartender.
He was pretty
great. But they made fun of it in a good way, too, of like, well, you know, they did, it's... They don't get to enjoy your other attributes.
I have a 13-foot screen at home, so yeah. But anyway.
There's two things I want to talk about Dolores really quick. Yeah. One, the fact that she could lie in analysis mode really was surprising to me, because that takes all of the emotion out and all of the story and fluff that she's able to draw.
So that means her programming is there to be able to lie.
Yes.
Maybe as a self-defense?
Very possible. I don't know. You gotta come
but
on.
While we're talking about red herrings and deviations from what's standard, is this world sabotaged? I mean, we saw the laser in Homeboy's arm.
Yes, that's giving info to the outside.
So could any of this have come from the outside?
Superfan sent me that. Superfan Didi actually mentioned the same thing, that could Dolores be being maneuvered by someone from the outside. Yes, she said hacked. Thank you. I think you read my tweet. That if Dolores is the one being hacked, which we'll talk about in a second.
Pulling the string skin thing. Ah, oh. That's one of those, like, made my skin crawl.
Sorry. No. And then the other thing that I just want to mention, because everyone in the chat is talking about Dolores and whether, when she starts hearing this voice, people tend to disappear around her. In frame, when she's in the graveyard, they just appear on the train, and they're wondering, is that a glitch? And if it is it a timeline glitch?
Totally good question, but totally other random thing of her being in two places. No, just something. This is a show where you almost can't have anything be unintentional. You know, there's always a purpose. So when Dolores was outside somewhere, I forget where she was, her hair is like midway down her back. When she's speaking with Ford, it's like went from this long to like this.
And so I'm
like,
a foot shorter.
Yeah. It made it big. And it's one of those, I'm like, wow, her hair suddenly got shorter. And then it gets longer again. So then I'm like, where is that in the timeline thing? And that just felt so off. Like, that's not just that they curled it differently.
Not a continuity.
But my only hang up with that is that the show was shot not sequentially, it was shot by location.
So you could have still, it's a shot. They show her hair so much. And that's
it's very possible.
It was weird.
I feel you.
I was like, because
we have a gentleman
maybe
on the panel that can attest to the out-of-sequence shooting as well. So
it was. It was shot out of sequence. And you notice a lot of the same set pieces for Pariah were also in, what's the place where...
Is that the little Mexican village?
Yes. The same place
that
Lawrence got his world rocked.
They haven't done that with her yet, that big of a difference. I mean, yes, the curls here have changed, but that was such a big one that I kind of was like, why is it different? Is this a different model? Is this a different time? Mm-hmm. And so it just felt weird.
It's just something
she's
to
naked,
keep in the
and
back
that's
of
the
your
only
mind.
Thing to look at. And you're like, mm-hmm. whoa. Well, yes, there's other things to look at. But because then her hair... Yeah, anyway. It was just a weird moment that I'm like, wait a minute. Because these are supposed to be the exact same thing every time. So
no, it's good. It's good to have it in the back of our mind to build our case with what you're saying. Absolutely. Yeah. But we do have to wrap up with the Man in Black, Teddy... and Ford meeting at the very end.
Oh, that was intense.
Yes. So,
chat room's like weird wig day.
So what do we gain out of that? Did we gain anything new out of that? Or it's, I think the show's already been pushing us that way.
We get a lot of new stuff. Someone in the chat, Red Moon Spider said, Man in Black to Ford, I'll cut you open and see what's inside. And then a lot of ellipses and a question mark, which was my reaction as well.
Wait, what?
The Man in Black at one point turns to Ford and says, I should cut you open and see what's inside.
Yes.
It feels like maybe you are not human, or that perhaps the Man in Black believes that you're not human.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Like, I don't know if it felt like a thinly veiled threat on his life. Like it wasn't, like, he would still be alive after he cut him open. Like, there was something literal to discover inside of him. So I feel like there was a lot of potential threads that will get tied up soon that they just kind of opened. New questions.
I really think we have to ask ourselves who's human and who's not. Who's a host and who's a visitor?
Well, that's a common thing in the chat and comments.
We have to. And I mentioned earlier, is it possible for hosts not to die or not to be affected by the bullets and stuff? Mm-hmm. Because even Jimmy Simpson's character, William, mentioned at one point, I think it was his character, who said something about that would make it, that it wouldn't be as fun because you don't know who's who. And I wonder, like, if I see somebody next to me get shot and they don't die, I can just assume that they're human. Mm-hmm. But if I can't really do that, that adds to the intrigue. Like, wait a second.
The consequences
of life. Is that part of your timeline and your purpose as a host to serve as a human acting or a human distraction? So
That's interesting because someone today in the chat asked, that choking got pretty intense.
Yeah, like, and he was kind of like, please stop.
We know that the hosts are programmed to go to a certain point and that the further out you go, the more dangerous it gets. But it did seem like he might have been on the verge of suffocation.
Yeah.
Or he's a giant wuss, which I wouldn't put past him either.
Yes.
But glitch in the bot or programmed, like...
Back to the original film, they get bit by the rattlesnake and they're like, that's not supposed to happen.
That is true.
So it could be a glitch with other characters.
Well, and what's the chat role saying? What are we saying with the meeting between Ford, Teddy, and Man in Black? Because to me, he just wants to unravel the truth. That's all he's trying to get at. That's all Man in Black. But what is his truth?
Raymond Terry says Man in Black dispels the two timelines, in my opinion. He says that they made the host more human-like. Okay, so I see that. That was an interesting kind of point in the argument as well, or in the conversation. He's like, you made them more human. And then they said it was... Because it was more cost-effective. That was earlier, though.
Yeah, never mind. They said it's more cost-effective.
Yeah, but it confuses me as how flesh and blood and organs could be more cost-effective than gears.
3D printing would be cheaper than steel and metal, right?
Okay. Yeah. So. All right. I take it back. Yes.
Wait, actually, you know, let's flip-flop topics real quick because that actually can lead us more into what happened in Pariah.
Yes.
Yes. Mm. Let's talk about it because we can talk about you being the, the union host that welcomed...
Well, I said earlier that I have no behind-the-scenes info, and I really don't. But I'm going to say some stuff, and I'm not afraid of you, J.J. Abrams.
Oh, wow. Those are
big shots fired.
I'm terrified of you, J.J. Abrams.
I might be a little bit afraid. But I don't think he would mind me saying this. But one of the cool things about my scene that was dramatically cut, like 99%, was part of the scene was set up. It was a conversation between myself, Dolores, and William.
Ooh.
And they arrive at Pariah, and it completely throws me off. Like, because I see this beautiful woman, this blonde flowing hair and blue dress, and I'm like, whoa, hey, are you bringing her here? Because you know what this is, right? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, your wife probably shouldn't come. And there's a moment there after that line where I mention that she's his wife, and he pauses and says, this is not my wife. And she looks at him, and there's that moment... And it's before the kiss that happens later on. I think the kiss kind of gets us to the same place. But it kind of hints at what this relationship is evolving into and how far will it go and what lengths will they both change to preserve and to grow that. We see that she shoots for him, which is something that she wouldn't have done before. And he does the same.
She didn't do it for Teddy.
Right.
Not only does she do it, but she's a sharpshooter.
Yeah, like she came. Yes. She brought it.
Fast and deliberate and accurately. It's
but
amazing.
Could she have not done it earlier with Teddy because she hadn't had those layers or walls broken down? Because now it's a bit more anything goes.
Almost. I think William's
just hotter.
It's
almost like a switch happened.
She certainly feels like fully awakened now.
Yes.
And what we said a few episodes, I forgot who mentioned it on the panel, the dynamic between Teddy and Dolores was, that was like the hometown boyfriend.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she wanted to go off into bigger lands. And that's William and what she's seeing now in their whole, her journey.
Right.
And let's talk more about this scene. Now, how did this come to be? When did you shoot this? And
this was shot over a year ago. Over a year ago. And it was crazy because in that time span, you read the trades and you hear all the rumors and it's like, it's never going to make it to TV and this and that. And you're like, what is going on with this show? But when I say it was secretive, it was very secretive. So I got the sides. I went in audition or whatever and was fortunate enough to book the role. And I asked my agent immediately. I was like, can I get the script so that I can fill out what this unknown like project is that everybody's buzzing about? You like how I threw buzz? And that was just for you guys. Yeah, and he was like, no. I was like, what do you mean, no? Like, no, not like I'm a principal. Like, give me the script. He's like, they said no. And I was like, you can't, like, work out something? They're like, no. When J.J. Abrams and Jonathan Nolan say no, and Lisa Joy says no, you just no. And I was like, wow, okay. Well, and so you get to set, and it was crazy. It was humongous. The biggest set I've ever imagined.
Where was this? It was
shot up in Santa Clarita.
Okay.
So it was the same set that Django was filmed on. Okay. So all the world's kind of right there for the Western part of it. But, a lot of fun. Everybody there was I will say this. All the cast members that I met were extremely gracious and extremely generous and nice.
Nice.
So everybody was cool.
Now, and before we move on, I do want to ask, I always ask this of a guest. Now, if you could be anyone else on the cast, who would you play? Who would you be? We'll come back to that one, but let's just throw that one.
Let me simmer on that.
Yeah, but let's... Okay, so here comes the big reveal of El Lazo William. What's going on here? Are they one in...
Oh my gosh, so much to break down. El Lazo is so much smarter than I initially gave him credit for. Just because, this show's so great at setting up stereotypes and then just smashing them. I really felt like El Lazo's going to be kind of like the dirty... drifter out there who kind of just was setting up the deals, but it's clear he has a much larger plan in action already, which is really cool. And it's also kind of funny to see William start enjoying himself in playing this game for the first time when they go to rob the Union soldiers. Mm-hmm. And he starts, with his cowboy talk. Like, really? Because I hear one bull you guy has, like, he likes it now.
He likes it.
It was exciting. I don't know. Yeah. I want William to enjoy his $40,000 a night stay.
So, but doesn't it seem to you, to me, it seems like that we got to say goodbye to Lawrence and hello to Lawrence all in the same episode.
Yes, it was. That's why I was like, this timeline is weird. Because it was like, oh, you're done. You're here for Teddy. I'm like, oh, bummer. And then it's like, and there he is again. I'm like, wait, you just... Okay, it's a different
spot. Because when Dolores, I know we jumped a little ahead with the whole pariah with everything, because I know you guys wanted to touch upon reminders of Roman world.
Yes, there was the Roman world. We noticed that in a way. There are giant orgy, colorful body paint stuff too.
Very eyes wide shut.
Yep.
Exactly. But my thing was when Dolores was pointing the gun to the casket where Slim was laid.
Uh-huh. Oh, that was smart.
And that's when Lawrence introduced himself as a friend. It seemed like to me. Like
this. Oh, yeah.
So this is the beginning, and I enjoyed that.
He probably respected her more of like, all right, you're not as stupid as I thought you might have been.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some courage. You got guts. Because before he's like, nah, you're just this girl who came along, and she's like, oh no, I know exactly what I'm doing. He's like, all right.
And with everything that happened in Pariah, we are also come to know what's going on with Logan and Logan's interest in Pariah. And that's where I'm wondering if I'm going to tie that into the corporate espionage with the thread.
Are you talking about Logan's game goal of getting to the end of the line, or
we can talk about that, but also they're invested. They have interest in Pariah.
Yes, yes, yes.
In how much they want it because to them Sweetwater was safe,
right?
And Pariah, that's where the true game is at, and they have investors. These are the people that want this part of the game.
And so they just want to get Pariah and not... Because I kind of felt they were buying out all of Westworld.
But it sounded to me that this was what they were very interested in, and he brought up the fact that there was someone that didn't make it out of this part, referring to Arnold.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. So there was just so much in there, and that's why I'm just trying to figure out the whole mess from the Confederados and...
Well, he liked Pariah more because it wasn't the cookie-cutter gone through different screenings and tests scene. He liked that it was raw, because it was a point that it also, helps the people, which William touches upon, too. He's like, I don't like that this game is putting you in situations where it is revealing your true self of what are you really going to do.
In all this interaction, would we say, basically, in a sense, Logan made William? If he is to be the man in black? I know I'm going with the theory, because he just pushed him.
He pushed him over that dark edge. Yeah. He killed the Union soldiers, and he didn't really want to, but... He did it out of necessity to save those he cared about.
Yeah.
Well,
baby steps to the dark side.
One of the chats here is C. Denning 820 said, what I'm confused about is, did Logan bring William because of business or for some other reason? And I think that's really interesting on what you guys said, because why did he bring Logan? I mean, why did he bring William? If they're just business associates who happen to be future brother-in-laws or whatever, okay, cool. But I think there's a deeper purpose there, and I think there's a deeper game that he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that with that conflict between the two of them towards the end of it. And so I think there's more there.
I could totally be wrong. I like the idea that Logan has a bigger agenda, but gut reaction to me says Logan's just a hothead who's been handed a lot of stuff throughout life. Yes. And now, like, especially from the choking scene to then being beat up by the guys. Like,
but he smiled when William left him.
Yeah, and I was going to
say, I missed that.
He smiled. It was a little smirk.
But I think he smiled because he was happy that William finally did something of his own pure desire.
Interesting.
Not because he was pleasing anybody, you know. He did it because that's what Logan was pushing him to do every time. Like, no, I want to see you really react. I want to, like, no pretending, no faking it. Let's see what you're really going to do.
You know, and taking it a step further with what you said, I kind of agree with what you opened up with about Logan, about him pushing William on purpose for the only reason is that if he's just a hothead, it would just make him a one-dimensional character. Something we want a redemption, even with Logan, I would think.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is that perhaps he's trying, like, this is his man vision quest kind of thing, where, like, if I make you here, you'll become the man I need you to be as my EVP.
That's what he introduced it as in the very beginning.
Or just to break up the marriage with his sister. That's I do some stuff like that.
Yeah.
Wow. So you want to be Logan. Okay, so no, but now we also got to talk about a big, big moment with the text, everything that happened in Delos. God, this episode seemed like it was like, there was so much content
happening here.
But everything that happened with, we find out that the tech's name is Felix. Mm-hmm. Felix the Tech. And
I like Felix, guys.
You do?
I do.
The moral center of Delos?
Well, Felix interests me for a couple of reasons. One, the offhanded comment his buddy makes where he was like, the psych eval should have kicked you out long ago. Which, again, it feels like there's some puppet master that we haven't quite met yet. Did someone need him to come in to change up some stuff? Did they need an invented mind amongst the slaughterers, as they call themselves?
Butchers.
Yeah, butchers. Thank you. I also like what he wants to do most is just get this little bird to fly, and he wants to move himself up in the world. I think we're going to go a lot more from him soon.
Yeah, no, his character is interesting because he seems to actually... He also, like Bernard, sees the hosts as, like, real people.
Yeah.
Which his co-workers kind of, you know, messing around with him and being mean and a jerk.
Being a total jerk. Like, even if you're like, these things are just puppets, like, the thing moved and ran away from me and it looks very human. Like, I am allowed to be a bit jumpy about it.
And then the co-worker's just total absolute asshole because he's like, so well, he's not wrong, though. You did steal company equipment. But he's like, so you're not going to be anything more than what you are now. And you're like, oh, wow. Thanks for crushing his dream.
How sad is your life, sir?
Yeah, seriously. Like,
dreaming and wanting to learn.
Because there's a way to be like, dude, you stole that. You're going to get totally busted. That's a bad idea to do this right now. You should put it back and not let them see you. And I'm just like, aren't there cameras around?
Yes.
Because
because we find out about the other tech. But
well, that one, she made it sound like the host logged it. But it was shot
that POV,
from...
It was like...
So he's doing this stuff in office with glass windows at all their offices. And I'm like, nobody notices.
Yeah, I always scratch my head with that one. But more so, the interesting takeaway for me was the fact that we're in this big corporation and everyone has an agenda. Down to even Felix. Everyone has some sort of angles.
It's like real life.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I'm mind blown on this one. But then let's definitely talk about Maeve.
Please.
Oh my God! Was she not like Eve / Mother Earth reborn here? I love
with the bird.
With the bird landing on her finger, with all the flowing hair, with her position being definitely legged. One of power, sitting, you know, cross-legged and higher than him. I think she might be our Eve. If help me with names. Emma Rachel Wood's character.
Dolores.
Thank you. If Dolores is our Lydia, our beginning, then I really feel like Maeve is our Eve. I think she's our first woman to kind of be awakened. Mm-hmm. And I'm really hoping our desperado friend is her Adam, because I love him and I want them to be together.
Ooh. I want to backtrack a moment because someone brought up something in the chat that I totally noticed too. Nobody commented on the weird British kid in the woods.
Oh my God. You called that while we were watching.
I was like,
that
is really weird. Because, I mean, Ford meets him, but Ford can, you know, not be surprised by anything. So that's fine. But the fact that the Men in Black talks to him, and Lawrence talks to him, and nobody's like, what are you doing out here in the middle of the woods all by yourself in your proper schoolboy attire?
No, that's because the man in black was supposed to meet that little boy there as part of the game. That's
so you like think the next he level. Knew that was coming?
No, I mean, I don't think he knew, but when he saw the boy, like, this is the next level in the game.
So he's not surprised because he sees every piece of the puzzle as just that, another piece to
but four. But what was the tip-off? I didn't get, like, a code phrase or I didn't see any action from that kid that should spark. I saw a change in the man in black. Clearly something registered, but I missed whatever tipped him off, like, oh, I need to change
course. Because he looks out of place. Like, he doesn't look like he should be exploring the woods.
Like, which, I mean, in video game, like, narratives, that's pretty common. When you come across something that's very different from what you've explored, you're like, oh, there's something big here. Like, there's a treasure chest.
Yeah, okay, then that's fine. Like so maybe, but I would have wanted one comment, at least, like, so are you here by yourself? Where's your family? Because it just felt like they didn't think it was weird.
Or even something strange from him. Like, you shouldn't be going this way. Or
well, you just had the, are you lost? Which I'm like, that's a really fun, weird question that your character is telling these people.
And before we finish with Maeve, some of the fans are saying the Aftermath show says the boy is Ford's spy.
I thought that too, Aftermath.
Yeah.
That's why he keeps track with them. That's why Ford meets Teddy and Man in Black at the end because of the young version.
I like that idea too.
That's nice. Yeah.
Thank you, Aftermath show, for that one.
Someone said, he doesn't need a spy. He has access to everything.
True. This is his world. But if the hosts are more doing the logging, it's a less intense, like, spy, more as opposed to he's a pair of eyes that no one else is watching. Yeah. And I don't think the boy shows up on any, like, other text, radar, or anything. Yeah. It kind of seems to be just Ford's
still weird
personal host.
Well, clearly we know that there are hosts out there that have things in them that other people aren't aware of.
Yeah.
I.e. the laser.
The giant-ass laser.
Yeah.
Huge forearm-sized laser.
Look, she starts picking at it, and it's like a little string, and she pulls it out, and it's like a DVR. Wait a minute.
I like that she brings it in the bag and drops it on the desk and then takes it out of the bag and puts that bloody thing on the desk.
I feel like some techs would have to be fired because who missed this? Who did not do a full scan, not once? Like, how long has this been in this guy?
You know, and, but I, are we talking about Dolores or are we talking about when she, Elsie finds it on the stray?
On the stray.
Elsie, because, because I, backtracking, if we're talking about the string being found, the satellite link, we noticed that Dolores talked to herself as the fortune teller, and she pulled it out, but then again, it was gone.
That wasn't the thing, though.
I think that was her becoming unraveled.
Yeah, it was literally unraveling flesh.
I totally misread that.
Because she said, like, you're going to unravel or something, and so it was more like a thread pulling, because it was the white-ish clear, and it, you know, it didn't become metallic.
Totally off. So send the hate mail at JCRubioTV.
Let's hold on 1 second. Metal Monkey is responding to our talks about the man in black and the little boy and why he switched up. Now, and a lot of people are saying Teddy needed a blood transfusion, which we again is what happened afterwards. But what about this kid is what changed the course? I just don't want everyone to be like, he needed a blood transfusion. We know. We saw that part.
No, that's not because of the blood transfusion. It's just the fact that this little schoolboy walks up. And neither of the two conscious characters, goes, or even they don't even look at each other like, oh, that's a weird little kid to be in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. You're dressed not for this area at all.
We'll have to continue this for the after show because we do got to wrap up. And
Nylon thread. Yes.
Yes, we do have to wrap up. Any last thoughts with Maeve before we move on to any predictions?
Real quick, guys, before we get into that, something that I thought was interesting was the title of the episode.
Oh, yes.
Contrapasso?
Yes.
It refers to Dante's Inferno.
Correct.
That term was used to describe the relationship between someone's sin and how it had them land up in hell.
And how they were punished in hell.
So if we look at that as maybe the maze is hell and these characters are taking actions in this episode that will lead them to that destination.
Oh, okay.
It's sort of... That's a thought that occurred to me.
But we also see a lot of people get punished. Maeve is, in a way, punishing a new tech guy that we just got introduced to.
I don't think she's about to punish Felix. She's going to use him.
Yeah, but not punish in like, a brutal, like, blood-stabby or whip kind of thing.
I was waiting for him to stab him. I was waiting for her. I was thinking he was going to turn around, and he's all happy, and be like, stab!
But he's seeking information.
Yeah.
And now she's turned those tables on him, and she's about to get her information. Well, we see it with not William, but
Logan.
Logan, in his whole time, he's been torturing people, stabbing dude in the hand, beating up anyone he had the opportunity to. And now tables are flipped on him, and he's being taken over by hosts.
Yes,
we get a lot of stuff for the opposite in here.
Yep.
All right, and that's a thank you, bicameral mind Neil, in the booth. No, but now we do have to move on to predictions.
Okay.
Your spooky AfterBuzz music. TV What's predictions.
All right, so I did see the previews in the weeks ahead. I don't know if you want.
I did watch it this time. You did watch it.
Okay, yeah. So we did see a few things, and a lot of it's Maeve.
Yeah,
yeah, it is.
We see a lot.
It looks like she's wearing somebody else's specialty, like lab coat jacket.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, she's in the heart of Delos.
Yes,
I definitely see. And the beauty of Maeve is she's kind of like the Sherlock Holmes of the whole of the whole cast. If you think
she's,
about it.
Yeah, she's been the only one that really is like, I need to find the answers.
Yes,
because Dolores does, but not the same way. She's more like, I want to absorb this world. Maeve's more like, she's more laser focused.
Well, yeah, and Dolores is kind of looking for herself outside of the world, whereas Maeve is going into the center of it to figure out, like, who. I love this, like, parallel UFO alien kind of storyline, because she has no idea who these people are, and it feels very like they're being abducted and kind of taken away. It's so exciting.
Let me piggyback off that. Actually, the director was Johnny Campbell, who's most known for his comedy Alien Autopsy.
Yes.
Autopsy.
Yep.
Yes.
No, I did not know that. That's amazing.
So it brings it all back.
This is a hilarious movie, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Bill Pullman, and but I think it's like 06, so definitely check it out. So any final predictions before we get out of here?
Tessa Thompson's character is going to come, join forces with Maeve, and that's going to explode into awesomeness. Just you fill in the blanks.
I like
Wow. I hope you guys are hearing that one.
I think we're going to get to the maze sooner rather than later. And I think it's an actual physical maze. I don't think that it is a symbol for anything. And I think that in the center of it, it'll be like in Harry Potter, book 4, when they've got to go through... oh, wow, guys. I'm nerding out. Through the maze and Cedric Diggory dies. That space. I think it's going to be just like that. It's going to be like a tournament of people trying to get into the center of the maze.
But wait. There's an actual human being on the symbol, though. Or what is Da Vinci's man?
It looks
man,
like a person.
The Vitruvian man.
Like, there's like one of those in there. So how does that factor into what you just said? That's all I wanted to know.
They could still be at the center.
Yeah. I don't know if I think Arnold's at the center. I do think Arnold's there. I don't think he's dead. I don't believe in bodies.
I'm going to stop that there because I want us to shout out our Twitter handles because we're going to continue the conversation after the show is done. So give us the music, Neil. So, of course, Joelle, where can they find you?
Hey, guys. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. And every week at blackgirlnerds.com, you can head over to blackgirlnerds.com right now and check my review for Doctor Strange.
And you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Carrie D. Lane and Facebook at Carrie Lane Actor.
And Carl Landos, I have to thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I had a blast.
Mr. Carl Landos Scott, where can the world find you?
You can find me most easily on Twitter at Corlandos. That's like Orlando the city with a C at the front, S at the end.
And you're welcome back anytime. So finally, Day Child, we'll see you next week. Come back soon. And so for Neil, Corlandos, Carrie, what did I say? She gave me the weird look. Joelle, I'm JC. We'll see you. Goodbye, everybody.
Good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.